The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You know, I really believe that we have an opportunity to begin to speak virtue and speak to the princes and speak to the princesses in this generation.
Next, best-selling author Lisa Bevere speaks to the next generation.
Why are we trying to bow down, conform to this image that is not safe, not trustworthy, not virtuous? When girls package themselves cheaply, then they don't understand their value in God.
Purity's power, next.
Thank you very much, and we welcome you to life today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have a friend who taught on purity's power right here in this studio some years ago. Lisa Bevere, we've got a lot of beautiful girls and women here who have a very legitimate interest in the power of purity, and understand that Lisa communicates this very effectively. I married a girl that was so pure and so innocent when I met her and went out with her. I thought, well, you know, she must be the dumbest girl I ever met, because she didn't even act like she knew anything when I brought up sex, because I was just such an incredibly great Christian teenager. And I really, it was really tragic. I grew up without a father. I grew up without positive influences in my life. And all of a sudden, I met a girl that was so innocent and so pure. And here was my response. You might be curious, after I had taken her home, and I was so stupid, I didn't even walk her to the door. I just parked in front of her house and waited for her to get out. And I'm driving away. I mean, I'm dumb. We didn't ever have a car. I had borrowed this car from a pastor who wanted me to go out with this wonderful girl in his church. And I just drive off, and all of a sudden I thought, I didn't even walk her to the door. Bless her heart. She just walks up there. This stupid guy's driving off. But I went to the house where I was staying with that pastor, and I got down on my knees, and I started crying, and I said, God, I met a pure girl.
Jeez.
I've been married to her for 48 years. And by the way, if you fail and you miss the mark, girls, the purity and the greatness and the grace of God is greater than any failure. And He makes us whiter and purer than the driven snow. And we all fail and miss the mark. And God never beats us up with the mark like a club. God doesn't walk around like some holy policeman. He just points us to the standard, and then we line up with the standard for our own benefit and blessing, and to be a blessing to others. And the power of purity is great beyond words. Lisa Bevere understands that very, very well, because she walked both ways before God came in. She understood the incredible difference purity makes. Would you welcome Lisa Bevere back to life today? Lisa, I'm glad to see you.
Oh, it's so good to be with you guys.
Thanks for going all over the world to the mission fields. I mean, you and John literally pled with us after supporting Whitney. You pled with us, we want to go.
Yeah, we bribed you to get you to let us go.
You really wanted to do it. Now, let's talk about purity's power. I mean, you... John actually influenced you to give your life to Christ. I think you were kind of outside the circle of what you now understand to be so important. So, you know, share with our viewers what you've shared in the book and in this lesson, the importance of purity.
Yeah, I was completely outside of the household of faith. I didn't understand anything about God, about virtue, about love, about the value of the sexual relationship between a man and a woman, the intimacy. I knew nothing. And, you know, James, actually... you guys have been such a part of me redeeming this part of my life. You know, I gave birth to four boys and said, thank God, I will never have the evil daughter. I am going to only have sons, and I will never reproduce myself. And John had been so good, and I had been so bad. I there was areas of my life where I was a victim, but there was areas of my life I'd almost say I was a sexual predator. I mean, I was just horrible. But when I became a Christian, you know, Jesus came in and He washed me clean, but I still felt that the church made me feel ashamed. I still remember being at services where they said, if you marry a woman who is not pure, you can never be in the ministry. And I felt like I had brought reproach on my husband, and I knew he had lived his life with virtue and he had lived with purity, and I felt so ashamed. And so I was so happy to hide that. But you know, God loves to take us and make us face what we fear and let us redeem those things. And you guys gave me a voice to so many young girls to talk about, what if you've lost your virginity? What if it was stolen? What if you squandered it like I had? Can your virtue be restored? Because you know what? Virginity is physical, but virtue is more than physical. It is spiritual. And we have girls that are virgins, technically, that have no virtue. And we have girls that have lost their virginity, maybe they've been sexually abused, that have recovered their virtue. And we need to be women who begin to wash away the shame of generations of daughters, young and old, because getting married doesn't solve it. You know, bringing this to the cross for a confrontation, letting Jesus wash away all that shame and all that guilt is what is going to restore us. And so I remember gathering here with these girls and hearing their questions and finding out that they weren't getting any answers in the church. They were getting rules. Mm-hmm. They were getting the list of do not do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But they wanted to know how to do it right, how to do it well. And I've had opportunities over the years to actually see the fruit of these CDs in people's lives. The materials have come from the way they started to date, how they chose their husbands, and now how they're raising their children. And it's just been beautiful to see that. So thank you so much.
You know, we were having a meal together before we came out here, and you told us about a girl. I don't know whether you saw her while you were traveling or on a plane,
her.
But she brought up this series of tapes and this teaching.
She did. She has actually, there was this amazing booth. It was called Create to Liberate. And she was getting donated material, and she was piecing together pearl necklaces to really raise funds to rescue girls out of sex trafficking. And I was so impressed with her. I said, can I meet you? So I went and met her, and I hugged her, and I took a picture with her. And she said, oh, I've known you for years. I said, you've known me for years. And she said, you're the one that wrote the book. You're the one that spoke into my life when I was a teenager. And she said, this is my way now of thanking you and rescuing the girls that never had a voice into their life, who never had anybody to position them well. And so I just was amazed how it came full circle. And that was just last Thursday. And then I also got this letter, I think it was 2 weeks ago, from a mother who had gotten this kit for her daughter because she felt so ill-equipped to really position her daughter with purity. And so she got the kit and she listened to herself, and she said she felt like such a hypocrite talking to her daughter about purity when she herself had not walked in it. But she listened to the kit, talked to her daughter. Her daughter actually ended up coming up and working with me. But anyway, the mother began to gather girls. She came to the place where she was gathering 200 college-age girls using this material and speaking from her own experiences. And now, you know what she's doing? She's gathering the young men. You know, I really believe that we have an opportunity to begin to speak virtue and speak to the princes and speak to the princesses in this generation and really begin to say, you know what, there is something more. You know, you are going to lose if you give in. But if you've already given in, if you've already lost, you can recover. You can recover what's been lost. And, you know, I've raised my boys, really positioning them that they would inherit God's promises and not my pain. And we need to tell the truth to a generation of women and boys, young and old, that it's going to cost them way more than they can ever imagine. I love that you cried about Betty being pure, but the truth is Betty's pureness inspired you to want to recover your virtue.
And you know, Lisa, as I sit here and I listen to your story, and I know James's story, and all three of us have different stories, but you know, we all have to come to the same place in our lives and in our heart that we receive Jesus into our hearts. And I received the same kind of forgiveness you have to receive, you had
Absolutely.
To receive, and James had to receive. It's all there for us, no matter what our stories have been. Jesus wants to forgive all of us and wash us white as snow. If we'll just allow Him to, you can be made new just as we were made new because of God, of Jesus coming into our lives.
How have you been able to, with four boys, impress upon them, you and John together, the importance of valuing the modesty or purity? And I've got to ask you, did they comment very often on the lack of discretion? Betty just wrote kind of, she's journaling. As a matter of fact, you get the Kingdom Life journal. And we have been asking people. We actually gave away another journal early in the year just to take notes and write down thoughts. And Betty had just written something this week about how typical the world is and the way they go at things, and even in the church world, and that girls just think I dress scantily. It's just a normal, accepted way of life. Mm-hmm. How did your boys respond to what they were seeing? To deny that a girl is attractive and an attraction, and that there's going to get somebody's attention, and that attention and attraction is not necessarily healthy at all for either side. How did you deal with that related to this, and what did you hear from your boys when they would look and see what all was thrown at them out here in today's world?
You know, we started really young. I remember Alexander in a checkout line one time looking over at a magazine, and the woman was very seductive, and Alexander started backing into me, and he said, "Mom, that woman, she looks like she wants to eat me." And I remember I said, "She does. She does want to eat you." You know, but he picked up that the seducing spirit wants to take away the strength, that seduction is after the strength of a man. And so I would actually seize those moments at 10 years old and then seize them again at 12, 13, 14. But we would also talk to them about, why do you think a girl dresses like that? What do you think she's trying to communicate? What does she look like? Does she look like she was just raped? What is that communicating to somebody? Does this look like this? Would you want to date a girl like that? No, why not? And then we talked about, when girls package themselves cheaply, then it's, they don't understand their value in God, and that they need to be valued, and that my boys have the right and the ability as sons of God and princes to begin to speak value to girls and to say things to them that would recover that value. I know that my oldest son, he just did such a beautiful job with his wife of just nurturing her and telling her how beautiful she was and value. And I know John did the same thing, because she hadn't come from a family that did that for her, and I hadn't come from a family that did that. And when a girl doesn't feel valued by her femininity, that she doesn't feel beautiful, then she'll turn to the lesser, which will be seduction and manipulation. And she'll try to take the man's power, and she'll try to take it as her own, and then he'll try to conquer her to get it. And it becomes this battle where God says, together, you know, the virtue of the woman, the virtue of the man, together, it creates an intimacy for them. And so my boys, and we talked about it, and my boys, sometimes they would see things, and they'd say, "Mom, I'm closing my eyes, and all I keep seeing is that girl in the movie." And we would talk to them, and we'd pray with them, and we navigated our children's sexuality with them. It's that powerful, that you need to navigate their sexuality with them. You don't let the world do it. You don't have the one-time talk. It is a daily onslaught. It is a daily discussion. You bring it to the dinner table. You talk about it openly. You don't make them feel ashamed about it. You let them have an open door into your life. There are things my boys have brought to me that terrified me, and I thought, why is John not home? And then I thought, but you know what? The Word of God, and I'm their mother. I can talk to them about this, and I can demystify this and not scare them.
You know, one of the things, I actually came and sat through some of the teaching with the girls, mm-hmm. because I spent many years of my life speaking in high schools and junior high schools, and speaking to young people in churches and talking to them about modesty and about purity, and telling girls. And one of the reasons, Lisa, by the way, that they, I think, dress to get attention is because every girl wants to feel pretty. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times dad doesn't make the girl feel pretty. Every girl wants to be pretty. But get this, the only one that can make a girl or a woman feel as beautiful as you want to feel is Father God. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that can give you that. But nevertheless, the reason girls dress for attention is because they don't have that affirmation of beauty. And you're really drawing attention in the wrong way, to where you may get attention, but you won't get the kind of affection and love that you want. I came up and listened to Lisa teach, and one of the things you did, and you do it in the series very, very well, you explain to girls what dressing modestly looks like. Right. Betty, when I first saw her, Betty had on a figure-fitting dress that night. It wasn't seductive, but it showed that she was quite a beautiful woman. God did not make the distinctive differences so that we would be ashamed of them. It's fine to look like a girl. You just don't have to look like a streetwalker, a hooker, or a seductress. You don't have to look that way. You don't have to dress like those you see on television who are obviously dressing that way. You can still be very beautiful. You can still let it be known, I'm very much a girl, a woman. and not be seductive. And you actually showed girls images, and you asked the girls, what does this say?
Right.
You, one of the things you said of certain dress, you said, how many of you would want the, your boyfriend hanging around this girl?
Or your brother or your father. Mm-hmm. And they all said, no, no. And I said, why are we trying to be her? Mm-hmm. Why are we trying to bow down, conform to this image that is not safe, not trustworthy, not virtuous? And the girls were all like, yeah, you're right. You know, I don't want to do it. And I do think we need to understand there is a real onslaught going on in the schools. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of pressure. You know, my son Arden came home and he had been assigned a book and he was so tired from basketball tryouts. He said, Mom, every time I go to read, I fall asleep. And I said, okay, I'll read to you. So, you know, I'm so excited. I've got my son in my bed with me, you know, my big, you know, lanky 15-year-old, and I'm reading to him. I haven't done this in years. And so I'm reading to him. And all of a sudden, James, I couldn't believe what I was reading on the pages. It was taking the combination of pornography and masturbation, and it was merging this as normal activities for a 14-year-old boy. And my son said, Mom, I hate this book. I don't want to read any more of this book. And I said, you know what? I'm going to call the school tomorrow, and you don't have to read it anymore. And I called the school, and I said, hey, this is violating my son's conscience, and he doesn't want to read this book anymore. And they said, well, you know what? It's engaging the boys. And I said, it is engaging them on the lowest level. And I don't want my son engaged on his basis level at 14. I want him engaged on virtue and on his the core values of the school. And so I said, please don't out him. Please don't make him feel ashamed. But let him just read last year's requirement. And they said, okay, well, I don't know what happened. I don't know if the teacher was premenstrual. I don't know if she had a bad day. But she must have had a meltdown. She came into the classroom and she said, somebody's mom doesn't like this book. And everybody that wants to stay with the book I chose, come out with me, and anybody that doesn't want to stay. And Arden was by himself sitting in the classroom, and he didn't know what had happened. Two little boys looked back, saw him, and I say two little boys, Arden's over 6 foot, he's like 6 foot two. Two boys went back with him and stayed. Teacher called me and said, well, they've got their own reading group. But you know what? Something in me rose up, and I had forgotten, James and Betty, about the 30 other boys in that classroom reading that book, and whose mother had no idea what was in that book. And I called the school and I said, listen, this book violates everything with me as a parent. It would be R-rated if it was a movie, and it should have required a permission slip. And I want it pulled from the classroom. And at first they kind of got a little, well, we're not sure, but it had a little Native history moved into it. And so I beat it up, put my hair like in a braid, showed up and said, this is against my people, and I do not want this for my children. And you know what? I also researched the school policies and found out it was in violation of the own district policies. And you know what happened? The principal had no idea that that kind of material was being introduced to the school. When she realized it was introduced, she was horrified. When the other teachers realized that it was so subjective, they were horrified, and they actually held a seminar, how to pick curriculum that actually, you know, begins to appeal to them. I told them, I said, hey, I've been on the other side of this. And when you introduce pornography and masturbation to young men, the other end of that is sex trafficking, because you deal with sexual detachment, misogyny, addiction, and you go into the place where people think that other people are just to be used. And the school was horrified. And so we need to understand, as women, we have a chance to recover virtue, and we need to protect the men's virtue by what we show them. And then we need to protect, as parents, we need to protect our sons' and daughters' virtue.
You appreciate what Lisa did, what she was saying, Robert, all my heart. I just say thank God and thank you for being what a mother should be, recognizing your own misdirection and going in a new direction. Purity's Power, if you'd like to have it, it is here on CD, and you can get it. There's Lisa's website if you want to know where she's speaking. She and John, her husband, speak all over the world. And if you'd like to have Purity's Power, here's what we're asking you to do, and that is simply help us meet a need you're going to see. As a matter of fact, Lisa, I think that we're about to look at what I found to be as moving as anything I've ever seen in my life. I want you to watch.
My name is Dufin. Teura sanga mbuvumbe fe jau chima nambula jau rai mandrene. Mijale. Azu ti ere ni ti tirin razu. Malahi sakafu. Le kere ngavau kere. Chimana sakafu yere kere. Chimana kane miruru avau. Ajaja rue anu valuvula rue vula. Lahani terak. Ana ajaja rue. Fani mat. Tunrue maro malutu ranu. Tiranu tu malutu. Marare titruai. Ranu tu malutu. Tiranu tuk. Nala helu rahu, amana kurua reo, ye maharera kahi, nikuhak. Azu ti burukuluzi rahu tiao chimishi tia, ti chabuaku mamunze laputali fe chimishi, chimanambula hikarakaraku, michale.
Mother said it all. God the Father says, water is life. Now listen to me. Betty and I would guarantee there'd be a well drilled where she is. She represents thousands of people on that island country of Madagascar. With 15 countries that our missionaries have pointed to like that, Betty, and that's a... Mom said it so well. I don't know what was going on when you looked at little kids and little boys walking. I walked everywhere with my mother without a father. I saw a little kid wave it, get the flies away. Listen to me, please. We can drill some wells. God, I want to inspire fresh water given everywhere. That's real poverty, that's real hopelessness, but we can give them hope. They're precious in God's sight. $4,800 to drill a well. Help us drill some wells. We've targeted to drill 400. God, I wish we could drill 4,000. They're $4,800 each. That's the average. You give 2,400 and pray somebody joins. You give 1,200 and pray three more people join you. Just do whatever you can do. Please dial the number. Take your bank card and say, here it is. Here's what I can do. Listen, $48. 10 people water the rest of their life. $144. 30 people water. Betty, I'm just praying that someday I'm going to ask people to help, and everybody's going to help.
You know, that mother, like James said, the mother said it all. It hurts. It hurts her to see that her other three are possibly going to die because you could see them. The solution is simple, but the need is great. I hope you will join with us, and let's do what we can do to give this mother a choice between the good water and the bad water, the pure water and the diseased water. Please join with us.
This is a cure that works. This is not looking at a little child that's sick and saying, I wish we could find a cure. We found the cure. It's water, clean water. I prayed with all my heart. There wouldn't be one person watching that wouldn't say, look, I'll do something. I mean, I got $24 for five children, five people. But whatever you can do, it's huge because it's life to those people. So please make the call. You can go online, lifetoday.org. We've got some special gifts for you to bless you. I don't know anyone who gives to help us share life to get something. We give to you because we love you, and we want to also bless you. But there's no greater blessing than giving life to others. Would you make that call? If you get a busy, just be determined and call until you get through. Please say, I'm going to do my part.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. The suffering can end because clean water changes everything in life. With your support, we will drill 415 new water wells in remote villages in 15 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will reach 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. In appreciation for your gift to help drill these new wells, be sure to request the Kingdom Life Journal. This beautiful leather-bound prayer devotional includes both Psalms and Proverbs, as well as a place to write your own reflections as God speaks to you through His Word. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request the journal as well as our beautiful commemorative bronze sculpture, Heart of the Father. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I thank you, Lisa. Wasn't that one of the most moving things you've ever seen?
It was. And I've seen the moms when they got the well and how they danced and thanked God for it. And I wish everybody that's partnered with Life Outreach could see that.
I do. I pray all over the world. You've just come back from Australia. Let me say to Australian friends, God knows you haven't had a water problem in some years. You've had so much flooding. Mm-hmm. And we've really been praying for you. You're such precious mm-hmm. people. And we really do thank you for helping us. And all over, up in Canada and here in the U.S., over in the UK, thank you. We'd gladly send you Purity's Power, the CD teaching on this. If you send your gift to help us share water, along with the Kingdom Life Journal, we'll send you Purity's Power if you'd like to have it. Just ask for it. Join Betty and me again saying thanks to Lisa for being with us. Lisa, we love you and God. Thank you for your help. Thank you so much. Thank all of you for your help. Please, you call until you get through. And let's give people like that water.
I wanted people to know I was having a baby and not just a lot of Mexican food. I wanted...
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.